Greetings, this is Brother Steve again, Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. God bless you as you seek to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Our theme this week, again, is on the battle. I'm going to ask the questions again. The Christian life, a walk in the park or a war? The world, a playground or a battlefield? The life in Christ, a life of ease or a desperate struggle to survive? And I encourage you to go back and read or listen to the previous messages if you have not done that to get the whole picture. This morning, I want to look at a few things here concerning the battle and also the soldier. We are in a battle. We are in a war. We are soldiers, and we have a king that is giving us direction. I'm going to start out with Luke chapter 22 and verse 41 to 44. The context here is of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the battle that was raging at that place. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. As we see the picture here of our Lord as he wrestled in this battle, you could say of this battle in his mind, even. I'm going to get back to that later, talking about the battle of the mind. But, you know, again, what I think I talked a little bit about this earlier, so I'm not going to go into great depth, but just the battle that was raging here was that conflict between wanting what he knew was best long term for eternity was in conflict with what was comfortable for him right now. And so that's why he was asking the Father that if he be willing, that he would remove this cup from him, that he wouldn't have to drink this cup. Cup of pain and death. But we know the story. Jesus, the Spirit, won the battle in this case. Now I'm going to look at the soldier just a little bit and some of the characteristics of a soldier. You know, a soldier is committed. A good soldier is committed to his Lord. He is committed to his King. And he is committed to giving his life for the cause. That's a good soldier. Start off with, I have one few verses here in 2 Peter I want to look at. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the example here. We have diligence, that is, you know, being motivated and being active. And then you have giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is basically character, good character. To virtue knowledge, the knowledge of God and what virtue looks like. To knowledge temperance, which is basically self-control. And to temperance patience, patiently enduring, persistence. Is another word could be used there. And to patience, godliness, which is God-likeness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Kindness to your brothers. Brotherly kindness, charity. And charity is a sacrificial love. And it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You know, that's talking about an earthly race, that they which run, but only one receives the prize. Now, the beautiful thing about this heavenly race is that we can all receive the prize. Not only one receives the prize, but everyone that runs faithfully will receive the prize. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate, again, that's self-control, bringing your body into subjection to what is right, to the Spirit. Like a runner, you know, he disciplines himself in getting up every morning and going out there and practicing. He goes out there and runs a mile or whatever he does, and he disciplines himself. He brings his body into subjection because of the prize that he's looking to win. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They do it to obtain a, you know, just something that's going to burn up and disappear, and we do it for something that's eternal. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and keep it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And there we have that again, that idea of bringing your body into obedience to the Spirit, bringing it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I should be cast out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we could go into thinking of one place where Paul talks about it. I don't have it written down. I don't know where it is. But where Paul talks about the difficulties, the hardships that he's faced for the sake of the gospel. Extreme endurance test, you know, where he was, they were pressed on every side, physically and spiritually, almost to the point of despair. Here it says, it's endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Again, you know, in the natural realm, soldiers, for the sake of the battle, will endure much hardness, long marches through difficult places, and all of those kind of things that that a good soldier must go through. And it says, no man, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. He talks about no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You don't want to get entangled with the affairs of life, but we want to bring our body into subjection. We need to strive lawfully according to the word of God. Hebrews 12, verse 1-4, wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such conviction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's a beautiful example of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He looked beyond all the pain and the difficulty that he was facing at the moment, and he saw the eternal glory that was coming beyond that. And so also we need to keep our eyes on things of eternity to overcome the things in this world that want to bog us down. Now I'm going to look a little bit about the battle in the mind. Much of the difficulties that we face starts with a thought or something in our mind, the sins that we commit and those things. So Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it talks about being renewed, the renewing of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Then I'm going to jump off right down to Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, where again it talks about the mind of Christ, and encourages us to have that mind in us. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we could continue there and see what the mind, what is in Christ, Jesus Christ's mind. I'm not going to get into that. We don't have time for that. But I would encourage you to read that, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and following, where it talks about how Jesus thought. Ephesians 4, verse 22-23, that you put off the former, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There we are to gird up the loins of our mind, bring it into order. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. This is a good one. I think we actually had read this another morning as well. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There you have the idea, verse 5 there, of casting down. It talks about pulling down strongholds, and then it says casting down imaginations. Imagination, something that you're imagining in your mind. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There again is the idea of every sin basically starts with an imagination, a thought. Even back to the Garden of Eden, where Eve was tempted with that thought, that imagination of what she could have. And there it makes it very clear that we need to bring into captivity every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's the battle that rages in our mind. When we can bring into subjection our thoughts, our imagination, and our mind, then the rest kind of falls into place like a domino effect, because it has no place to start. And so that's why the enemy is trying to entice us with imagination. Okay, that's going to be as far as I go today. Again, just encouraging everyone here to be listening, to be a good soldier, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and look at the battle, and look at the reward beyond, and give all diligence, like it says in Peter, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and it goes on down the line there. God bless you, and we will be back with more later.